As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by Audible.com. If you would like to support this podcast and start a 30-day trial membership, visit audiblepodcast.com/excuse. Season 11, Episode 12.
This is Writing Excuses, idea as subgenre.
15 minutes long.
Because you're in a hurry.
And we're not that smart.
I'm Brenda.
I'm Mary.
I'm Dan.
I'm Howard.
And we once again have Nancy Fulda joining us.
I'm waving.
So.
No, they can see you. It's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what that little thing on the ceiling is.
Last time I promised that we, well, 2 weeks ago, I promised we were going to dig into this a little bit more. Because I really want to say, you know, our people have this idea, our listeners, they've brainstormed it. How do they go from that to story? And then also, how do they use that as a smaller piece of a much larger story? Mary, you said you have an exercise.
Yeah. So one of the things that people run into when you've got the gee whiz idea, and you don't really have anything to hang on it yet.
Yep.
So one of the things that I do is I think about where this gee whiz idea might happen. Like, let's use the milliner assassin that I was doing last time.
Mm-hmm.
So, our last season. So, milliner assassin. I'm going to say secondary world Venice.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And so, milliner assassin in the idea story genre is going to concentrate a great deal upon the mechanics of milliner assassinry.
Exactly.
How does she do it? What kind of needles? What kinds of poisons? Which kinds of hats are best to hide things in, you know?
Maybe. So, yes, it could go that way. But this is one of the things is that when you're coming up with the gee whiz idea, they can go a lot of different ways. If I'm focusing on the milliner assassin as my main character, yes. If I'm focusing on someone who's trying to track down the milliner assassin, it may not focus on that. So first I come up with where it's taking place, which tells me a lot of things. Then I kind of make a list of who's going to be there and who's going to be affected. So, you know, there would be the assassin, there would be victims, there'd be widows, possibly a detective trying to track her down, clients. You know, I would go through this whole list. And then from that list, I would kind of look at it to see who has what at stake. And the person who has the most at stake is the one that I'm going to pick as my main character.
Mm.
And from there, I am able to construct a story. Because now that I know that she has something at stake, you know, let's say I pick the milliner assassin. Okay, well, what does she have at stake? And then I will, again, brainstorm all of the things that she might have at stake. And from there, I'm able to craft a story that is idea-driven.
Right.
But it's not just, look at this neat idea. There's an assassin who kills people with millinery.
Yeah. One of the ways that you see idea used as a subgenre a lot or as a spice to a story is as the set dressing.
Yep.
This is basically what the YA dystopia genre is. I'm going to tell a thriller or a romance or whatever, but it's in a cool world where X happens. That's
where
what Divergent is. That's
people
what
can take their teenagers and send them for recycling.
Yeah. You know, you come up with that cool what if, and then you tell a thriller inside of it.
Yeah. I've
think that, two weeks ago, we tried to distinguish a little more clearly between the mice idea and the idea element. Mm-hmm. Inspiring fascination in the reader and having that carry the whole book, to me anyway, is a lot harder than taking fascination and using it as a seasoning for a story that is principally a thriller or principally a romance. And so when we talk about idea as a subgenre, I think that is where the distinction between mice idea and elemental idea really kicks in.
Yeah. I would say that for me, this might be why I write epic fantasy, but an idea is generally not enough to drive a story for me that I want to write. I go long form. Even my short stories are long. And I am usually looking for an idea hook for every character, where if I were to say, it's this, you say, oh, that's interesting. It's a guy who's raised as a surgeon who is sent to war and learns he's really good at killing people. That's a, oh, that's cool. I want multiple idea hooks for the setting. It's a world where storms that are as powerful as any hurricane on Earth come every 3 days. And I want multiples of those. I want, here's what the government is. Here's a hook on the government. This is a government based around the idea of MLMs. The more money you earn, the higher your rank. This sort of thing I'm going to take as seasoning for every aspect of my book and use that to make lots of, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow moments. The book is not about those, but the oh, wows are all over the place for me in a story, but that I'm writing 400,000 word books.
Let me offer two books that are pretty much pure idea, mm-hmm. just as a contrast.
Yeah, they totally exist.
Mm-hmm. One is 2312 by Kim Stanley Robinson, mm-hmm. which is basically look at how cool the solar system is. And I've got some plot kind of here, but really, look at how cool the solar system is. Mm-hmm. And the other one is Seven Eves by Neal Stephenson, which is basically, so what happens if the moon blows up? And the rest of the novel is dealing with that and getting very, very detailed about aeronautics.
Right.
And these are both driven by the woo, as opposed to what you're talking about, where we are using it as a seasoning.
Yep.
And it is a lot more common to see it as a seasoning. And it's,
One thing to be aware of, too, if you are writing idea stories, you will get a very polarized response from readers as you're in the development process. Because some people are reading primarily for plot, primarily for event, and they're all going to complain at you about how much time you're spending on the idea. And that does not necessarily mean you're writing a bad story. It means you're writing an idea story and they weren't looking for one.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, so what you really want to do is check to see if there is anyone who's loving it, right? Quite literally. If you're getting two very different lines of feedback, that's okay. Just start listening to the people who like the idea stuff.
Okay.
And your revision
process. Jack
McDevitt's
Engines of God and Ancient Shores, both very much idea novels. And the distinguishing thing for me, I mean, I'm fascinated throughout the book as the idea is explored. But one of the hallmarks of this, where the idea, the fascination is the driving force, is that there are so many characters. We are moving from character to character as we explore the idea, because there isn't a single protagonist or a single conflict that is driving the story forward. We are watching as this discovery propagates through society and changes things. We are watching as teams of explorers in different places dig into this new information. Very much not about characters or plot.
I'm wondering, actually, as I'm thinking about it, if that is a hallmark of a giant idea, like an idea as major.
In this case, I think it is.
Yeah.
Because I was just thinking about China Mieville, and pretty much everything that China Mieville has ever written is an idea mm-hmm. novel.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Making your mental health a priority is always a challenge. And I think it's easy to not prioritize it, especially when you're trying to figure out how to write a book. I think we have some deep cultural idea that artists should be tortured and depressed to make their best work. But in my experience, struggling to find clarity and motivation will hurt your process a lot more than help it. In my own life, therapy has been essential to figuring out how to navigate an industry seemingly designed to give all of us anxiety. Being able to talk to an expert can help you set better boundaries, find a balance between the demands of your work and your art, and navigate the complexities of being a published writer. That said, finding a therapist is never easy, especially if you're not in a major city like I am. That's where a service like BetterHelp can be of use to help you start the process while you figure out what your needs are for your mental health journey. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/WX today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, .com/WX.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's go ahead and stop for our book of the week.
All right. So the book of the week is The Watchmaker of Filigree Street by Natasha Pulley. This is great. So it's Victorian, and the main there's a couple of different protagonists, but one of them is a watchmaker. He's in London. It's Victorian London. He's Japanese, and he makes these amazing, amazing watches. And then there's also this entire mystery thing of someone has been misusing them because they can do amazing things. It is fascinating because of the details. It's a really good example of the idea as mm-hmm. as subgenre, because the details and what can happen with them is so cool. And then it's also beautifully written and great character stuff. So it's not just a straight idea story, but it has a very strong idea component. And I highly recommend it. So again, Watchmaker, Filigree Street. You can hop over to audible.com.
Audiblepodcast.com/excuse.
Thank you. Sorry, I just totally blanked on that one. Start a
30-day trial.
Wow. You can tell that this is the last episode of the day because I've lost all of my words.
Who wrote Watchmaker of Filigree Street?
Natasha Pulley.
Okay. Read by Thomas Judd.
Mm-hmm. And I read this in one sitting.
Excellent. All right. Last half of the podcast. I want to talk about using idea as subgenre, specifically in our stories. I want to move away from, hey, here's a good example of it that I've seen in fiction, and more of a how-to. And I'm going to ask Nancy, you've got a great idea. you know you've got this story you're going to write that's a thriller or a mystery or something, and you want to highlight the gee whiz of the idea as a component of this. How do you go about doing that without letting the idea gobble up everything else and get into this world builder's disease that Mary had mentioned?
One thing that I try very hard to do is to follow my own sense of cool.
Okay.
When I'm writing, it's very easy. World builder's disease tends, at least for me, to come from a feeling that I have to get it all down. I have to know it all. I have to, you know, a sort of an external expectation that I must know it all. Whereas there are always going to be threads in the idea that are what I personally find most emotionally engaging, what I personally find interesting. And so over time, I've learned, and I mean, this may just be my writing process, right? Who knows if it's applicable to someone else. But I've learned if I just follow the things that I think are awesome.
Okay, follow the awesome. That's a great phrase to tell people. Mary, I see you writing things down. That usually means you have something brilliant to add.
So I find that one of the things that works best with ideas is to pair it with something else.
Mm-hmm.
If you pair the idea with the character's reaction to it, if you pair the idea with exposition, if you pair the idea mm-hmm. with action, if we use the cooking metaphor, it's kind of like black pepper. It's really good. You don't want it all by itself most of the time. It's one of those spices that is, I think, best paired with other things. And you can pair it with some surprising things, like I've discovered black pepper in chocolate. It's really, really good. Brandon has just made
actually.
Face.
You know, my mother discovered black chocolate and popcorn, or pepper and chocolate popcorn is one of her favorite things.
Yeah,
peppering her popcorn, and I've tried it. It's a very different experience. You're like, oh wow, I don't like it better, but I'm glad I tried it because it was a different take on popcorn.
Yeah, and so I find that ideas are very much the same thing. That if you can give us, so let me give you an example of how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So if I've got a really cool idea, and I want my readers to have the understanding of how really cool it is, I can pair it with a character reaction so that my character mm-hmm. comes in and looks at it and like looks at the cardboard thing that is sitting on the couch and goes, what is this? And someone says, well, put it up to your face. And they go, oh my gosh, this is virtual reality. You have virtual reality in a cardboard box. And that amazed reaction is going to tell my reader, this is a cool thing, as opposed to if I have my character pick it up and go, oh, you got one of those, huh?
Yeah. That's goes back to that character attention thing that you're mm-hmm. always telling us about. I would say also, over the next few months, we're going to be digging into some more elemental genres that I think will illustrate how you could take an idea and turn it into a mystery, or take the same idea and turn it into a thriller, or take the same idea and approach it as a horror story. The idea is often the seed for a lot of these things, but the elemental genres, the other ones we're going to be talking about, pair really well with idea stories.
If I find it fascinating and then you convince me to be frightened of it,
yeah,
you may have written a horror story, you may have written a thriller. When I do these, currently with Schlock Mercenary, I've broached the question of Fermi's paradox.
Mm-hmm.
Why in our world, you know, why have we not seen aliens yet? Because the math says we should have. And in the Schlock Mercenary universe, well, we've made contact with the aliens. Would anybody still be asking that question? And what I said was, no, until just now. Somebody dug it up and started looking at it. And as I noodle on that, some of the characters are very, very frightened by it. And some of the characters are like, eh, the aliens showed up. What's the question? I don't see what the big deal is. I find it fascinating. And the thing that makes it so useful is that in our world, the possible solutions to Fermi's paradox are manifold. And I get to plug into all of these different things through the points of view of the different characters.
Yeah, and how do you go about taking an idea and creating a larger story that maybe isn't about the idea, but just incorporates it?
What I try to do is start by thinking, how will this idea change the story mm-hmm. that I'm trying to tell? Mm-hmm. If I'm trying to tell a romance, or if I'm trying to tell a mystery, well, if I put this one cool technology into it, or this one cool kind of magic, how will that change the romance? Or how will that change the mystery? How will that mm-hmm. change the way people solve the mystery? And if those questions provide interesting answers, then I'm going down a good path and I keep following it. And if I can't come up with anything good, then I need a different idea.
I think it's fascinating that the past three comments have all really highlighted the idea of the intersection between your cool idea and something else. You know, it's a little bit like, you know, describing a static scene. No matter how interesting the stuff is, it's kind of static. As soon as something's moving, there's a wind blowing, there's a person picking up the cool vase instead of the vase on the table, it gains interest and gains meaning.
And for me, a lot of this comes from the intersection of two ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Idea stories are ones that you can multiply ideas really well and say, you know, Mistborn, I've often pitched. This is the idea of what happens if the hero loses mixed with heist story and a fantasy novel. And that intersection was really fascinating, exciting to me. And it turned out to be an epic fantasy. It's actually not an idea story. It just has a lot of strong idea elements to it, mm-hmm. like a lot of fantasy does. But the beginning was, what happens if I put these two ideas together, shake them up, what starts to come out?
One thing I love doing is combining a really cool idea with something really banal. You know, like Mary was talking about virtual reality in a cardboard box.
Yep.
Take something awesome and then something we see every day.
I think that's our key for idea, is kind of this, mix it with things, shake it up and extrapolate and see where we go.
One thing that's useful to remember as well is it doesn't have to work the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we write stories iteratively. One of my most successful stories in terms of reader appeal, actually on its first draft, completely flopped. Nobody liked it. Everybody hated it. And in the revisions, when you actually look at it, the final version is not very different from the beginning version. This is movement, right? And what the only thing that changed was I added an emotional cast to the character's experience. So instead of a static character observing without any emotions, now I had a character who was responding to the situation, who had a feeling about it, who had an opinion about it. And in terms of number of words on the page, it wasn't that big. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you try to write an idea story and everyone hates it, it doesn't actually mean that you're necessarily far from your goal. It just means you're missing the pepper, you know?
Yeah. One thing that as we're starting to wind up that I want to go take us back to is that idea stories are driven by what if combined with fascination. And this is one of those places where you do have to trust your instincts, as Nancy said, to follow the awesome. So one of the things when you're looking for actually how to do this is, you've got your gee whiz idea. You've got your really cool thing. You know, write down what if bees were sentient? And then just brainstorm all of the possible consequences of that. And the one that makes you go, ooh, the one that fascinates you is the one to follow. So that is, and you can do this, it doesn't even have to be the thing that is driving the story. It can be a moment when your character walks into a new space, when they discover a clue, when they have a conversation with someone. Whatever that idea is that you're looking at, that is whatever you're doing, you can build the fascination with it by, in fact, trusting your own instincts.
That's very good. I think we're going to end on that note. Though I'm going to give you guys some homework. This is something I push my students to do a lot in my class, which is to take a step further on something in their story. Oftentimes I'll have students come to me and say they'll have actually a really compelling character, but they'll be in the most bland, generic world that's ever existed. So I want you to take a story that you've been working on, and I want you to push either some world-building element or some character element further. I want you to brainstorm an idea. I don't want you to just have a monarchy. I want your monarchy to be weird in some way. I want you to follow the awesome. I don't want you to just use coins in your thing or just fly on spaceships like every other spaceship you've seen. I want you to take a story you've actually written and make it weirder in a gee whiz kind of way.
And while you're doing that, make sure that you are thinking about the implications and consequences.
This has been Writing Excuses. Nancy, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
You all listening are out of excuses. Now go write.
Writing Excuses is a Dragonsteel production, jointly hosted by Brandon Sanderson, Dan Wells, Mary Robinette Kowal, and Howard Taylor. This episode was mastered by Alex Jackson.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.